The scripture reading from this for this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. It's also up on the screen. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits, and to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Here ends today's scripture.
Before I share more about the scripture, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord God, we come here and we want to confess that true wisdom doesn't just come from ourselves, but it comes from you. So Lord, we ask with the confidence of children, and we ask that, Lord, that you would give us your wisdom, give us your grace to be the church that you long for us to be. Jesus, we pray that you would teach us what it really means to follow you. Holy Spirit, reveal to us how we desperately need you in our lives, how this church desperately needs you. Lord God, I pray that when I speak, I just wouldn't be my own words, my own opinions, but Lord, you would speak through me, that I would bring glory to your name, that more would see who Christ is and give their life to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today, I'm continuing my talk on the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's tough talking about the Holy Spirit sometimes. I know when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it sounds like a very spiritual, kind of superstitious sort of thing. And it sounds very out there. It sounds very abstract. But what I really want to try and encourage you is that the Holy Spirit is probably the most, I don't want to say the most, because all, you know, the Father, Son, Spirit are all important. But the Spirit is so involved in our lives in a very real way. He empowers us and gifts us. And that's what I want to talk about today, how the Holy Spirit kind of works in us in the church and even empowers us and gives us gifts. And I don't know if, I know some of you have been in church for a while and you've heard about the phrase spiritual gifts. And maybe you've even heard of, you know, some traveling speakers who do really amazing things. You know, someone comes to the meeting and he says, you know, I know who you are. I feel like God is just wanting to say to you that he knows your heart and he knows your situation, your family, and he's going to take care of it. Sometimes we've seen these things where people have been sick and they've come to a meeting and someone prays for them and they actually get well. And, you know, some people, I feel like the only way we can conclude is that, you know, there's a lot of strange things going on. That's not from God. Sometimes we conclude, wow, that's a very powerful thing only reserved for very super Christians. Or we might just say, like, you know, these people are all delusional. That stuff doesn't happen. They're just imagining it. And I, as a pastor, you know, I don't want to encourage Christian superstition. You know, I think there's a lot of danger when we start kind of adding, you know, how is God moving? By kind of making this kind of super spirituality that's overemphasized and like making these like great things happening, like hyper spiritualize everything. I've been to some churches where, you know, they're just spiritualize everything. It feels like you walk through the doors and it seems like no one's feet touch the ground. You know, they're all just caught up in very spiritual things. And I feel like just a mere person. And that's not real Christianity, I think. I think real Christianity walks on the ground. It's very grounded. It does real things. But I do want to say, growing up, I have seen some amazing things happen. You know, I remember when I was young, I was very ill. And I was very feverish. I didn't know what was going on. And then my father, who's a pastor, had someone pray for me. And I became well, like, within 5 minutes. And, you know, as a kid, I had no idea what was going on. I just said, hey, that was really cool. You know, she just prays, and I just got better. And I was telling my mom about this. I was like, Mom, that was really neat. She just kind of laid hands on me and prayed for me, and wow. And my mom was like, you know, that's the power of prayer. That's what God can do. I have had some really amazing moments where I remember once I was very discouraged. And I was really struggling. And I remember I just needed someone to pray for me. And I remember someone, I went up to somebody that I didn't know very well, and they prayed for me. And they just began praying very specifically, exactly about what I was going through and how I was being discouraged. And I was so encouraged. It just felt like the person had disappeared, and I felt like God was speaking to me directly and saying, you know what, Sam, I know your situation. I know you feel like everything is coming to an end, but I am with you. And you know, I don't think that was Christian superstition. You know, I guess I could kind of reason it and rationalize it all away. But I really do believe that the Holy Spirit is alive and active and does things in our community. And how am I supposed to make sense of this? Well, if we go back to the Bible, we read about Jesus Christ who came to this earth to bring people back to the Father, because from our sins we were separated from him, and Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, forgave us our sins and gave us a way to come back to him. But when he rose again from the dead and saying, you know what, I know you used to live a life of sin, but just like how I rose from the dead, you can have a new life living with the Father. But after he rose again, he said, you know, I'm going back to my Father. And people were thinking, like, oh no, Jesus is leaving us again. He said, don't worry. I'm actually going to be sending you someone who's going to help you. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. You see, Christ would send them the Holy Spirit so they could live their lives faithfully to the Father. And this is the whole point of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when we talk about spiritual gifts and the Holy Spirit, we think of all these kind of superstitious, really hyper-spiritualized, like, strange occurrences. But the real thing about the Holy Spirit is this, is that the Holy Spirit is in our life to help us as Christians. It gives us all that we need. Sometimes I know you come to church and you're at your work and you're thinking, how am I going to be Christian in this very non-Christian environment? Have you seen my coworkers? How do you be Christian in this kind of place? Have you been in your families and you're looking at it and you're thinking, wow, this family, it just looks like a train wreck. I don't know how I'm going to deal with it. How can I be Christian? How can I be a light in the midst of a lot of family members who are not Christian? How do I get through life when they're just really difficult questions? How do we do church when sometimes it feels like we just come across these things where we think like, wow, we're way over our heads? That's what the disciples were thinking. Jesus, if you leave, we're going to be way over our heads. How are we going to do this? And Jesus says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're talking about here in 1 Corinthians. You see, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts. He helps us. If necessary, he will do what it takes to do his work in us. That is what the Holy Spirit is here for, in a very real way, in a very practical way. But what I've seen is sometimes this sort of shift in some churches is that we start talking about these spiritual gifts. You know, there's been some movements, we call it like the charismatic movement, that really kind of emphasizes the Holy Spirit can do amazing things through us. You know, supernatural things in us. And, you know, we read about it here in the Bible as we just read in the scripture reading. And I like to say, yes, I've seen some amazing things that I cannot conclude through science or just mere explanation. But why is he giving us these gifts? He's giving us these gifts to show that one Spirit, one God is moving in all of us. If you look at this passage, he starts listing it like this. He says, you know, I know in this community, to one, there is given to the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge. You know, there's just really amazing things happening in your community. And the church in Corinth were really excited about it. In fact, some of them were even doing these things, like they prayed and people would get well. They would say something and someone would say, like, wow, how did you know about that? God must have told you something. Just amazing things were happening. And what was going on at this time is like there's this real temptation to start thinking about, wow, we're a real gifted community. We've got some really amazing things happening here. And they started getting kind of proud. They started thinking like, what? Oh, I'm sorry, you only teach? Well, I do like amazing things. Have you seen like some of the answers to my prayer? I do some amazing things. You know, I'm a leader. What do you do? I'm out in front of people talking. What, you're in the back just cleaning or something? That's not very important. And see, something shifted here. We forgot about what the original meaning of the gift was. You see, the Holy Spirit is here today to say that, you know, whatever challenge this church faces, whatever you're facing in your lives right now, the Holy Spirit is there to help you and to give you all that you need and will gift you as the Holy Spirit sees wise. But there's this thing sometimes when we get young as kids. It's funny, isn't it? When we get gifts at Christmas, we're so thankful maybe at first. But then after, you know, we get these wonderful things from our parents and we're so glad. But then have you guys noticed that definite shift that happens from year to year? Your children start thinking like, you know, aren't you giving me my gift? You know, we're kind of saying like, where's my gift? I deserve a gift. This is Christmas. This is what you do. You give me things. Right? And sometimes we come before God and we say, like, you know, God, this is what you do. You give me things, right? And we start thinking that the gift is actually for me. And I deserve it. I'm entitled to it. We live in a culture where we're saying, you know, I've come here. I'm expecting something. You know, this pastor better give me something that's, you know, very, very digestible and very, you know, wonderful. So I can get blessed and I can get encouraged and I can walk home feeling better about myself. But you see, the Spirit is very generous and gives out gifts. But the reason, why is he giving out these gifts? And we read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And how that changes the whole passage that we read here. Paul is saying, look among you, all these wonderful things. God has blessed us so much with so many gifts. He has shown or manifested himself in so many ways in his church of Corinth, through miraculous things, through simple things, through wonderful things. Why? For the common good. God is doing amazing things in us. He's saying some of you are being healed, some of you are teaching, some of you are counseling. Everyone's doing something because the one Spirit is in us. And he's saying, you know, some of them seem really spectacular, I know. Some people seem very gifted. Some people seem very talented. But it's not about the individual parts. It's about the greater good. And what he's saying in verse 7 is that, and verse 5, is that there's different kinds of ways that we serve, but it's only one God for one purpose, one common good. And he says that we are all indispensable. And Paul says, you know, if I can describe it, I'd describe it like this. We're all like a body. And I know that in the body, there are some parts that are more presentable. You know, we always like to show off our faces. You know, we do up our faces. We put all sorts of hair product in. We like to have the face at the front. But you see, the face is not the whole body. The body needs every part to work. In fact, Paul says we need to give special honor to those things that we don't really like to show off as much. I know some people are very self-conscious. I don't like to show my knees. They're very knobby. They look bad. You know, my toes are abnormally long. They look strange. But how necessary we need these parts without the knee. You know, you read in hockey and sports, the simple part, the knee, it can completely derail their career if it's damaged. Without that simple toe, we cannot balance ourselves so that the whole body stands. And we are all indispensable. And the Holy Spirit has gifted us. And all of us are so precious. And you know, I want to say something. I know sometimes in a church that is as diverse as us and so many things going on in this church, you can come here on Sunday and think, as you walk through the aisle and you sit down, you're thinking, would people really care? Do I really make a difference that I'm here? Is it really important that I'm doing anything at this church? I feel like, you know, if I come or don't come, it doesn't really matter. And I want to say, all of you are so precious. I am so thankful every Sunday for all of you that you are here. Because you are a gift from the Holy Spirit. You are a gift that is to be used for the common good. For all of us. All of you are so precious. Paul says that even, in fact, the more modest gifts we give with a special honor. You know, the ones that are always in public all the time, like, I don't know, the pastor guy, he doesn't need more honor. I mean, he's always at the front anyways. But those ones who are behind the scenes, the ones that we overlook, we treasure these people even more. The people that we don't recognize as much, they are so precious to us. It's not about how one person is gifted in this place. It's not about how talented you are, what you can offer, what you can do. It's about what are we doing for the common good, all of us. And some of us might think today, well, what can I do for the common good? How can I really help this church? And the Holy Spirit is there to gift you and to enable you for all that is necessary. Often we want to be talented, but it's a different thing to pray, God, gift me or talent, give me talents that actually help others. You know, I remember meeting someone, and I think he was very young at the time. I believe he was around 7. I've just met a lot of young people who, you know, in ministry, who are very ambitious. They want to go to the good schools. They want to get the good education, the good jobs, the good salaries. They want to make a good home, a good family, and those things are wonderful. And I remember this young boy at a very young age, he said he wanted to be a doctor. And he seemed very serious. He seemed like he was going to go for it. And I encouraged him, and I said, you know what, the most wonderful thing you can do, I think that's great that you want to be a doctor, but the best thing you can do is that you help others. You live for others. You know, at the end of the day, we can all be very gifted as a church, and we can all kind of help ourselves. But what the real thing we want to be doing is the thing that will really set us apart as people is that we are people who do not live for ourselves, but live for that common good. And what is that common good? Building up the one body where Jesus Christ is the head. And it's not just about helping each other out, because then we're just a community center. Then we're just the Chinese community center. But we are the Chinese community church. And we are helping the common good, that we may build each other up so that we may have Christ as the head, where Jesus Christ is the center of all that we do here. And it's a very ambitious task. But what we read in 1 Corinthians is that Jesus Christ has given us all that we need. I know many of you are struggling in all sorts of things right now. And you're always feeling like, man, I'm just overwhelmed. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And what I want to ask you today and challenge you today is to say, do you trust that the Holy Spirit can gift you and enable you to do all that is required? Can you trust that the Holy Spirit can indeed give you all that you need? Paul says, you know, it's wonderful to go after these miraculous gifts and to ask for these wonderful talents. But you know what? The most wonderful talent, the most wonderful gift of all that you can give is love. He says, yes, you know, tongues is great. Like, if you can pray in an amazing way, that's wonderful. But it doesn't really help people. So what's more wonderful is if you can prophesy, because prophesying is about building each other up in their faith, in their relationship with Christ. But you know, even better than prophecy and saying good things to each other, encouraging each other, is to live the most excellent way, which is love, 1 Corinthians 13. You can be very gifted. You can do wonderful things. You can even surrender your body to the flames and be very noble. But if you don't have love, it is empty. And God is ultimately calling us to say, Holy Spirit, use all the gifts, all the talents that we have in love for each other and for you and for your kingdom. And the Holy Spirit loves to answer those prayers. But the trick is, sometimes we don't really believe that he loves to answer those prayers. And as I continue to pray about the Holy, you know, pray for this church, about the Holy Spirit and our church going forward, I want to challenge you to really, to believe again that God can do a new work in you, that he can equip you, that he can give you all that you need to do all that he's called you to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is here for you, not just in a weird, supernatural, kind of mystical, strange way, but in a very day-to-day, practical way. Time and time again, I've met Christians whose lives have been transformed, and they have a wonderful testimony. Not because they just became good people, but because the Holy Spirit, in a very real way, transformed them and equipped them to be what he called them to be. And he can do that same work in us. I challenge you to believe and to follow with me. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we just want to pray right now that, Holy Spirit, you would restore our faith in what you can do in us, in what you can do in our community, in our church, what you can do in our families, in our daily lives. Lord God, we just want to turn away from the excuses we've given to you, saying that we don't have what it takes to do what you ask of us. We want to turn away from saying that, Lord, we're not ready yet. But today, Lord, you want to say, Lord, I might not be ready, but through the Holy Spirit, I am ready to do all that you ask of me. And you will be faithful to give me all that I need to do your work. Help us, Lord, to be Christians that move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just as you gifted the early church with your power and your grace, we ask for that same grace and power in our lives, that we may glorify Jesus Christ and lift up his name wherever we go. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.